Get a job.
Work hard.
And one day you can retire and do the things you want.
That's the typical formula for daily life in the modern world.
And it works for lots of people. This kind of life is perfect.
But it's not for us. And I'm guessing that it's not for you either.
I'm David Allan Patali.
And I'm Carmen Allan Patali. And together we run the content company Red Platypus.
I'm also a published fiction author.
And we have two young daughters who keep us on our toes.
We've both said no to well-paid jobs in favour of pursuing our creative paths. And we want to walk them with you.
Freelancer, digital nomad, artist, creative, self-employed. Whatever you want to call it, if you work for yourself and want to keep it that way, or want to be free from the 9-to-5 and don't know where to start, we want to help.
We're going on a journey to speak to committed creatives, people who are all in, who have made highly successful businesses out of their creativity, and ask them how they do it while retaining the magic.
Because while we think inspiration is good, we've come to learn that process is vital.
Welcome to the Committed Creative Podcast, your toolkit for the creative life you want.
Here's to going all in and becoming a committed creative. This week on the Committed Creative Podcast, I chat to Justine Martin, a resilience coach, motivational speaker, and artist of brightly coloured works of art that simply make you feel good. Justine has faced many challenges throughout her life, including being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which put an end to her former career, and suffering cancers and other health setbacks. Yet she's only weathered the storms and come out of them more resilient and confident than ever. To date, her art has won more than 40 awards, and her positive mindset has led her to coaching others on how they can build their own resilience and succeed in life. Let's dive in.
So welcome, Justine. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Thank you for having me, Carmen.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm so excited to talk with you because you're so inspirational. Maybe you could just start with telling our audience a bit about your journey and how you came to be an artist.
Yeah, can do. So 11 years ago, I became quite ill. And it took around about 5 months for them to diagnose me with multiple sclerosis. I was in the weight loss industry for around 10, 12 years and helping lots of people. And then I just found myself unable to work. My neurologist suggested that I find a hobby. And I'd always wanted to learn how to paint properly. I'm from a very arty-farty family. And one of those families where we're very gifted in art. And yeah, I'd always wanted to learn how to paint and never found the time, you know, with my career and kids. Back in the early 90s, I did hobby ceramics. I don't know if you old enough to remember that, Carmen, when used to buy greenware and then rub it back and then either fire it or bisque, you know, underglaze it and everything, and make statues and mugs and bowls and everything. So I did that in the early 90s, but that was about it as far as art. And I have a background in music. I studied music after I left high school and I wanted to be a classical conductor and composer. Yeah. But my mum got very ill. And she was diagnosed with MS and I ended up becoming her primary carer. So I had to leave uni and go home and look after her. So yeah. Here I was in 2011 being diagnosed with MS and not being able to work my regular job and due to cognitive issues that I have, I can't count properly anymore, and multitasking is a problem, and fatigue and nerve pain. So my neurologist told me I had to stop work and that I'd never be able to work again and to find a hobby because I was going to have a lot of time on my hands. And so I thought, well, now's the time that, you know, I can learn how to paint instead of waiting until I retire. And it took me about 3 months to walk through an art studio door for major anxiety that I had. And, you know, my world had just crashed, and my home was like my sanctuary, but it was also like a jail to me. So every week I'd drive to art class and I'd sit outside, and I just couldn't walk inside for, you know, the anxiety and the fear and everything. And I was losing control of my life. And I didn't like that either, and I felt humiliated. Anyway, one day I drove there and I sat out the front and I just thought, stuff it, what are you doing with yourself? And I got out of the car and I walked inside and I took to it like a duck to water. And my art teacher said, oh, you're a natural at this, you don't need much help. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, I've just... 3 months of working myself up to go through the door
and nothing.
Turn around and saying, oh, you don't really need much help. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've got to stay at home doing this. Anyway, I kept going every week, and that was when I was living in Western Australia in Perth. And about, three months later, we decided, you know, we packed up everything and we moved across to the east coast of Australia, to Geelong. And we'd been here a couple of months, and I started at an MS art group and also at a community centre. And I was the youngest in the class by about 25 years, I think, because everyone was retired that was in the community class. Anyway, I loved it. So I did 2 mornings a week and started producing lots of work, and then entered my first art exhibition since primary school. And entered a painting, and it sold for $300. And I'm like, oh, my God, someone just passed their hard-earned money over to hang my art, something I've created, on their wall. I still have purpose in life, because I went through a real dark time thinking, what's my purpose? You know, why am I still on the planet? You know, me having MS, you know, I'm going to be a burden on everyone. And, you know, I'd seen what it had done to my mum, and I didn't want that. And so, yeah, I sold my first piece, and, you know, family members were getting bits and pieces off me, and I think they were just being polite. Well, that's what I thought, they were just being polite. And to actually sell something to a stranger was a huge pivotal moment. And so then that got me thinking, okay, well, you know, I can still, you know, contribute to society in paying taxes, earning enough money through my art to pay taxes, and also contribute in a way that, you know, people look at my art and they smile and they love it. And, you know, that to me is still contributing back into society. So it was about 12 months, I think, after selling that first piece that I started a Facebook page, which is Juzzed Art, so J-U-Z-T-A-R-T, which is a combination of my name. And then I registered a business. And so I've done lots of different things in my life, like the weight loss industry. I don't think there's a multi-level marketing business out there that I have not sold. You name it, plastic containers, perfumes, cleaning cloths, jewelry, makeup, skincare, all of it. I've done all of it. But from that, I learned how to market myself, and I learned how to market a product on very little income. And so then all of a sudden I started producing all this art, and I took what I learned from all of that and put it into Juzzed Art. Thought, where do I want to take this? How do I get a name for myself? And I looked at it as a brand. Juzzed Art as a brand, not just a Martin artist. And when I looked at it as a brand, it's like, okay, I need to protect my brand, but I need to get my brand out there. So I started entering exhibitions, and every exhibition I could find, I entered art. I didn't listen to other people in regards to, oh, that's really bad, or, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, we should be doing that. I just went ahead and did it. And I started entering just small community exhibitions right up to state level exhibitions. And I started winning. And I won lots, which I still pinch myself. I think I won about 40 awards for my work. And
well, I'm surprised looking at your work.
Thank you. But I was entering like 12, 15 exhibitions a year. Also having solo exhibitions wherever I could put a solo exhibition and create, you know, a collection and put it in with a joint exhibition with someone else. I had it in doctor's surgeries. I've had it in cafes. I've had it in restaurants. Wherever there's wall space, if I walk into somewhere and there's blank walls or they've got some other people's art in there, I hand out my business card and I'm like, here you go. I'm an artist. Let me know when you've got some wall space to put it up there. So it's all exposure and creating that name. So then I was very fortunate to be given the wall space of a very large cafe in Drysdale, Victoria, called Cafe Zoo. And so I run the wall space there, and I have done so for the last 5 years, and I can hang 40 of my paintings up there.
So do you get a lot of sales through?
Well, I was prior to COVID. COVID has put a big stop in it. When we opened up, there was one week when we opened back up and I sold 3 paintings that week. I'm like, yes, we're back. But it's
plummeted. Then shut again. Yeah.
So from my artwork, I also produce greeting cards. And so when we paint something as an artist, we own the copyright unless whoever's buying the painting actually buys the copyright as well. So again, it's like utilizing what you've got. And I produce, there's about 30 different designs now that I sell as greeting cards. And, you know, they're like my little bread and butter. They tick over.
And do you sell those online?
Yeah, online and also down at the gallery cafe. So, and this year I'm expanding into more places with those as well. So, and effectively they're just your business card. So the back has all my contact details, and I've had commission work come through them. So it's been, they're just your business card. And look, they cost a minimal amount to produce. They're a little bit time consuming sitting there folding them and putting envelopes and cellophane bags and everything. But, you know, while you're sitting there watching TV when you're not doing anything else at night, to sit there and bag up cards. They're definitely well worth it. And I sell them at $3 each or six for 15 or 13 for 30. So people tend to buy the 6 for 15.
In bulk, yeah.
Yeah. So, and they're not, on the inside, they're not branded with anything. So they're blank on the inside. So people can use them for birthdays, for get well, for bereavement, for Valentine's Day, anything that they need. A card for, so.
Because that's actually one thing I was going to ask you about is diversification, because obviously you teach art, you do commissions, you exhibit in so many different spaces, and you also have some other branches of the business like resilience and public speaking and everything, which I'll go into later. But how important do you think diversification is for your business, especially in the times of COVID?
Oh, very. You've got to modify. You've got to keep looking at what's working and what's not working, what's bringing in the money, and how do I put this? Not be an art snob, you know. I have no degree in art, and you don't need one. You really don't need one. And I know that's going to horrify a lot of people out there by saying
the purists.
But, yeah, the purists. I did start to get an associate diploma, and my disabilities got in the way, and the college that I was at was not very compassionate to people with disabilities, and I really struggled. My MS played up immensely. I was in front in all the work, but I hadn't attended the actual class dates on three sessions. And I turned around and I said, what am I hoping to achieve by doing this? Everything that they're teaching in here, I'm already doing in the outside world. Why do I need a piece of paper just to justify someone else's reason, not my reason? So I left and continued to do everything that, that I wanted to do. So, yeah, it's just, it's been one thing after another. It's been a progression, a little bit of, you know, that snowball at the top, and it, and it's just gaining momentum all the time. So I've diversified in teaching now. I teach art wellness classes to other disabled people here at home, 3 to 4 days a week. I do, I've had, in 2016, I was diagnosed with 3 primary cancers at once. So I had melanoma, lymphoma, and leukemia all at the same time. And at the time, and going through chemo, I couldn't actually hold a pen or a paintbrush. I had another blood disorder called mixed cryoglobulinemia, and it was producing too much protein in my blood, which was then causing all this inflammation and choking me off internally, but also all these lumps out of my joints in my fingers and my toes, and I couldn't bend and definitely couldn't hold onto a pen or a paintbrush. And I kept getting tagged in all these posts from this woman overseas who was finger painting with oil paint. And I thought, oh, what if I could do that with acrylic? And so I gave it a crack and I painted this frog and sold it for $400.
Wow.
And I went, I can still create. I can still finger paint. And have really developed the style of finger painting. And now I teach finger painting for grown-up classes because everyone wants to get back to, you know, bare roots. We all learn how to finger paint in primary school. Well, this is nothing like it. You can actually produce some really good quality work by just using your fingers. And so, you know, I've gone on to the extension of doing that. And a girlfriend and I have just gone into collaboration, and we're doing, we have a business called Team Fingerprint. And she does the first half of the day, and it's all about, in the corporate sector, team building and them finding their purpose and their why, and then painting it. And so she does the first section of the day, and then I do the second section of the day, and then I take them all home and I fix them all up. So so that's another thing, you know, diversifying out there as well.
I just really admire your resilience, because so many people have been through a lot less and would have given up, and you've, you know, been through 3 cancers, MS, so many health issues.
Yeah, I've had 3 heart surgeries in the last 10 years as well.
So. Goodness, it's amazing, and you're still working and giving back. It's just so admirable.
Thanks.
So just wondering, what tips would you have for people who maybe are struggling through a dark period and they want to build on their resilience?
Contact me as a resilience consultant.
It's great sales.
That's the salesperson in me from all that time, you know. Any person you meet is a potential customer. In my life, they're a potential customer for art, for resilience, to buy a book, you know, all of that. Look, for me, remaining positive is looking at future goals and what I still want to achieve. And you know, I've still got a lot of living to do on this planet. Do something that makes you happy. I mean, for me, creating art makes me happy. And I now use it as a form of meditation as well. So if I know that if I'm getting a bit antsy and, you know, I need to calm the farm, I need to go and create some art, and I need to lose myself in creating that art. So it's become a big part of my life. And finding a hobby. I mean, you may not like to paint, but you might like to write music, or you might like to write a book, or do jigsaws or whatever it is. Hobbies are very, very, very important. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, the pandemic has shown us that so many people didn't have anything outside of work. Mm-hmm. So then when they had to stop, all they had was TV. And then that becomes very short-winded as well when you're stuck doing that all the time. So when you've got hobbies and you can immerse yourself into it, it definitely helps with that resilience.
And who knows where hobbies will lead? I mean, when your doctor said find a hobby, did you have any inclination that that could turn into your life's work?
No, not at all. And I thought that I had my dream job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was gutted because I could no longer work my dream job. This is my dream job. This is what I was meant to do. Help other people. And, you know, I believe that my story is someone else's survival guide. And whether they get in contact with me because they see my artwork and they look at who the artist is, or, you know, they hear me on podcasts, or they read the books, or they see me in the media, and they get in contact, you know, I am here to help as many people as I possibly can. That, you know, life doesn't stop just because you're facing an adversity. Adversities happen all the time in lots of different forms. So whether it's an illness, or whether it's a death, or a relationship breakup, or we're always facing adversity in some way or another. It's how quickly you bounce back from that. It's okay to have a sad day. I have sad days. You know, not every day is a positive day. My body still fails me quite often, which I get angry about. But I take myself to a happy place, create some art, do that hobby that you like to do. I also like lifting heavy weights. So... and have represented Australia in Olympic weightlifting.
Wow.
Since being diagnosed with MS.
Since being diagnosed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not your normal cup of tea.
I love that. You've achieved so much more than people who don't have any health issues.
Because I realise that time is so amazing. Precious. You know, time is the most important commodity on the planet. We cannot live without the time. So, you know, you can't buy it, borrow it, reuse it, or sell it. So be very, very careful on how you spend it and who you spend it on.
Oh, so true. Very wise words there.
Because oxygen you can get in a cylinder. Water you can get out of a bottle. But once time is gone, that's it. And, you know, I've faced my mortality quite a few times. Especially in the last 11 years. And so I try and put as much into each day as I possibly can. Even when I'm having a bad day, I'm still working on my business. You know, I've got goals that I want to achieve. This year I'm publishing my first children's book that I've written and illustrated myself, and I've got a series of 12 that I'm doing, and there's stuffed toys and linen and library bags and everything coming through from that. And, you know, I submitted off to publishers. I submitted to 31 publishers and got 5 contracts back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So they're hybrid publishers, which is fine. But I've knocked them all back. Every single one I've knocked back, because they won't allow me to do what I want to do with the book and my artwork, and which is bring out, you know, prints of the work that's in the book and greeting cards and the stuffed toy and the...
And you want to retain the rights to all that.
Yeah, that's right. And so I went, well, I'm going to learn how to do it all myself. And I enrolled in how to become an Amazon, Kindle and Audible publisher at the end of last year, and I'm presently doing the course for that at the moment, and I'm going to start my own publishing house. So that's the next.
Wonderful.
That's another extension out of what's come from picking up a paintbrush.
And the fact that many publishers were interested, you know, you're on the right track and that it's a sellable idea.
And I've already got a waiting list for people that are waiting to purchase it. So that's really exciting, and that's happening this year. And then I'm like, oh, well, there's no reason why I can't help other people publish their works as well. So JMC Publishing has come about, And then I've got another business which is called Van Gogh Decals, which is just still in the early startup stages. But it's my artwork on large decals for caravans and camper vans. And
oh, cool.
Wherever anyone wants to put them, actually.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Because when galleries close, you lose your traffic of people. So you have to look outside the square or outside the canvas on where else can I put this stuff in order to sell it.
So great. I feel like you're always someone who's looking for opportunities.
Well, opportunities find me. I think
you've got to be open to them to let them in, though.
And that's where it comes back down to. It's like, okay, well, you know, what can I do with my art? And, you know, it's been a big driving force to get off the disability pension for me and be independent and financially independent and not relying on another human being. Because I had that happen when I stopped work 11 years ago. My fiancé at the time had to support me and my children and put a roof over our heads and food in our mouths. And I didn't qualify at the time for any government assistance. And he didn't believe in my art and he's no longer in my life.
Not surprising.
No. But it taught me some really hard lessons and it also opened my eyes on what I wanted to achieve and what I still want to achieve. So, you know, residual income. Have you thought about if you can't work tomorrow, if your world stopped and you can no longer work the job that you've got, what are you going to do? Do you have money coming in? Do you have that money, that income protection coming in? I mean, I had some income protection, but that only lasted 12 months.
Yeah.
So, and that was 11 years ago. So, you know, we look at the now but not into the future. So building residual income for me has been a big one. That's a big one. And, you know, writing books, and I've just co-authored three business books, two business books and another book. One's called Release the Shackles, and that's actually out. It's available on Amazon, or you can get it through Just Art if you want a signed copy of it. And then I've got two business books coming out, one in March and one in May, and I've co-authored those as well. So, again, putting my story out there, and you just never know who's watching, who's listening, hence why I do podcasts. I've got a podcast of my own that's being launched next week called Resilience Mindset.
Oh, that's awesome.
So interviewing other people who have faced adversity and what they've done in order to gain the resilience in their own life. So it all kind of ties in. So last year we rebranded as Justine Martin Corporation because there's so many
branches.
Yeah, there is. And look, I've got staff now. If you said to me 10 years ago that I would have staff, I'd be like, no, don't be stupid. I can't even walk in an art studio, let alone I'm going to have staff that work for me. So,
So what do your staff help you with?
So I have some that help me with teaching. And because, you know, if I'm having a bad day, I need to have a backup plan that someone can come in and help. I have Susie. She's head of PR and communications. So she does all my media because I physically can't do it anymore. She books all my speaking gigs and stuff like that. I have a couple of business coaches that I work with as well. You know, don't be afraid to get a business coach as an artist.
Yeah.
And that's something that I do as well in the resilience consulting is I work with people that are not just facing the adverse, like a typical adversity, but they might be stuck in their career or they might be stuck in their business, and I can give you direction on what to do next or look from an outside point of view and say, oh, do you realize that you're doing this might work better.
I think that's so important because a lot of the time when people are creative, they focus a lot on the creativity but are not but not on how it's going to actually generate them an income.
Make, how they market them.
Make them successful. Yeah.
That's right. So,
that's important.
Yeah. And I had decals, although I had a car accident 18 months ago and I haven't put them back on, but they're going back on this year. And I had decals all over my car and of my artwork. And then on the back windscreen, advertised that I was an artist. I mean, if you can't afford to do your whole car, at least do your back windscreen.
Yeah.
Advertising sure. that, you know, whatever it is you do, you might be a muso or you could be, you know, an artist painting and that you do commissions, right? That on your back windscreen.
Absolutely.
Because you never know who's sitting behind you and that's reading it and that they need something done. And I've had it happen. I've had people say, oh, I'm in the car behind you. And I ran a competition at one stage in Geelong that if you could see me and you took a photo and tagged me on Instagram that you'd get a prize,
which was that's the cards, a great business
which were just cards.
Yeah,
but
that's
yeah, great. I was tagged all the time.
That's brilliant way to promote yourself. I love that.
Yeah, and sponsorship. So you know, I tend to donate gift vouchers nowadays rather than paintings. Mm-hmm. So a gift voucher to come and do a finger painting class. Or a gift voucher for resilience consulting. And you know, fundraisers, people are always looking for gifts for fundraisers.
So tell us a little bit more about this resilience coaching. How do you work with your clients?
So normally I work on a one-on-one basis. And they either come to my home or if they're in a different state or country, we do it just via Zoom. And it's all individually tailored to what their needs are because every single one of you is different. And, you know, someone's facing this adversity but someone else is facing this one over here. So, and the time period, it all depends on how complex their needs are. Sure. Some people will come for a couple of sessions, others will come for, you know, 20 sessions. But there are discounts available if you pay monthly for it. And I do have what's called the 10 Top Tips to Resilience. That's a downloadable $27 pack and it's worth about $1,500 in there. And
great value.
Yeah, and you get a half an hour free chat with me. In that, and I can give you, you know, tips and hints and stuff in that half an hour as well. So it's such a broad thing being a resilience consultant. So, you know, I help new businesses start. I help businesses that are stuck. I help, you know, someone's just walked out of a 25-year marriage and doesn't know where to start. I help people with dating advice and, you know, they might be getting on online dating for the first time and I help them with that. Had way too much experience.
How to navigate it all.
I'm actually a guest writer on some magazines now as well. And so I've just done 3 articles on internet dating and safety and where to start with internet dating. And then I've just done an article on resilience in midlife and so 40 and above and stuff like that. So, you know, we're all experts in something.
Yeah, for sure. Tapping into what your strengths. Yeah.
And putting it out there. So,
because what gave you the idea for the resilience coaching?
Well, because I'd been through, well, let's think, in the last 11 years, I was diagnosed with MS. I've had 3 heart surgeries. Then I've had the 3 cancers at once. And then the video reticularis, so I was going purple like a zombie. And then the mixed cryoglobulinemia. And then I got diagnosed with a genetic disorder that affects 11% of all women, which is called lipedema, which is painful fat syndrome. So some women have legs that look like billiard tables with no ankles and, you know, cankles. So that's actually a condition called lipedema. And so with being diagnosed with all of that and building my businesses through it and coming out on top, everyone kept saying to me, how do you do it? Yeah. What's the secret? And I didn't know to start with. I'm like, I don't know, just do it. I actually have to sit down and break down my life as to why I am the way that I am and how I've achieved everything before I could start then helping other people with it. And that's where it happened. That's how it happened. So it just kind of progressed. And
yeah. So any tips? What is your secret?
Having a routine, having goals, making sure that my self-care is on point. So self-care doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It, you know, taking time out for yourself, having a nice hot bubble bath, turning off your phone, going, getting your hair done, getting your nails done, buying that new top. You know, all that comes into self-care. Treat yourself as a goddess, because if you're happy within yourself, it makes it a lot easier than when an adversity comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't tend to throw you as quick with it.
And it can even be simple things, kind of like getting enough sleep.
Big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting enough sleep, making sure that you're putting the right fuel in your body. I mean, if you're living on junk food, every cell in your body is going to be full of nutrients that are not good for you. So, you know, you go away on holidays and you eat junk for a week. What are you craving when you come home? A good feed of veggies. So I know personally with myself that, you know, if I look after the nutrition that I'm putting in, then I'm going to get the optimal performance out of my body, which is my vehicle. Mm. Exercise is really important. Now, I used to hate exercise. I was morbidly obese. I was 125 kilos, size 26. And, you know,
so young,
I'm now a size 12, 10. And I exercise, a weight train 3 days a week, and I walk when my body allows me to walk, and do incidental exercise around the home, and that all helps build resilience.
Do you think to lose all that weight it was a mental switch as well, not simply
did you have to change
your mindset?
Yes, definitely, because I was one of those people that was eating I was eating at one stage 14 takeaway meals a week.
Whoa.
And, yeah, and the weight was just going on and on and on and on. And I had depression, and I was in a marriage that I didn't want to be in. And life, my mum had just passed away. I had a newborn baby.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
You know, that black hole was very, very dark and deep. And, you know, step by step, I pulled myself out of it, and every kilo I lost, I felt like I was getting a little bit more in control of me and myself. And it wasn't easy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was a piece of cake. It was bloody hard. And it took me 445 weeks to get to goal weight.
Wow.
So my weekly weight loss was 0.1 a week, I think. 46 kilos that I lost, and but I did it, and I've never put all the weight back on. Through medication, I put 20 kilos back on, but I've got that back off again because I know what to do. And you know, it has been a whole lifestyle change. I'm not the person that I was when I was morbidly obese.
No.
And I don't want to go back to that person.
No,
that couch potato. And, you know, we get one life, and it comes back again, karma to time.
Mm-hmm.
Are you wasting time? Are you wasting time? Oh, one day I'll get around to doing that, or one day I'll do that, or I'll start my diet next Monday. Well, I'll tell you now, you start your eating plan the very next meal.
Mm-hmm.
You slip up or you overeat. Okay, so go and do a little bit more exercise and pull your portion sizes back in for the next couple of meals. Don't go and reward yourself with food.
No.
At all. Because you'll put weight on. And, you know, I was always brought up that you had to finish everything on your plate before you got rewarded with sugar for dessert. Whereas now it's like, okay, I eat off a smaller plate, and I don't eat off a bread and butter plate, but I eat off an entree-sized plate, and I don't have dessert.
Mm-hmm.
If I go out, yeah, I do. I have a lot of food intolerances as well that I can't eat. So that helps keep on a healthy lifestyle, I can tell you. No tea or coffee. I haven't had tea or coffee in 29 years.
Oh my goodness, I couldn't live without coffee.
You can. See, that's a false belief. You can, believe me. And then I was like, oh, you have so much, you know, you're so vibrant and, you know, I want what you're on and, you know, how many cups of coffee then. Do you have a day? And I'm like, none. Haven't had coffee in 29 years. I'm allergic to caffeine, so no chocolate. And no, I've never had a mother or a V or Jager bomb or, you know, any of that stuff. Because, I get very, very ill very quickly after having it.
So just going back to the beginning of your story where you said you were fearful of stepping into that first art class, do you have any tips for how to overcome fears? Because when you were talking about that, it really made me think of starting your business for the first time and maybe stepping away from the 9-to-5 and leaving the corporate world, and it can bring on a lot of fear. Do you have any tips for battling that fear and how to overcome it?
Have a really good business plan. You know, sit down and do a mind map. Have you ever done a mind map, Carmen?
Years ago.
I do them all the time. All the time. Any new idea that I'm having, I'll work through them in a mind map.
Can you explain for our audience who might not know what a mind map is?
So a mind map is get a very large sheet of paper and some coloured textures. And so, for instance, if you were starting an art career, you would put paintings in the middle or art in the middle and then do branches off it like a tree. And you could have painting and you could have teaching or you could have art classes or you could have exhibitions or you could have cards or you can have markets. And you then just start exploring each of those ideas. And rather than keeping it all in your head, you write it all down on a piece of paper. And when something's written in front of you in black and white or pink or purple and that, when it's actually written in front of you, all of a sudden it becomes a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Seek external help. So seek, again, I'm going to throw a plug in, seek people like me that help new people start businesses. You know, learn from the mistakes that we've made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seek a mentor. It's really important, especially when starting out in a business, that you find someone that you can connect with and that you can have as a mentor. Yes, you have to pay them and, you know, find someone within your budget, but that will definitely save a lot of money and a lot of heartache.
Mm. Have you had any particular mentors who really helped you along the way?
I've had lots, yeah. And I still work with one. At the moment, and when I've outgrown him, I'll move on and find the next one. I believe that, you know, they'll come around. So I do it's called a Creating Success program, and I tap into that twice a week with Zoom calls, and I've done the online course as well. And that's really, really helped, you know, with just simple little things that you presume that you should know, but you don't know. You know, what's it saying? If you don't know, you don't know, but you can find out. So, you know, hang around with like-minded people as well. You are the sum of the five people that you hang around. And if you're hanging around with real negative people and that aren't going to support you, then look at a different support network. And,
so true.
You know, hang out with other artists that have created a business from it. Team up with some other people.
Any tips for finding like-minded people or your tribe? What's really helped you find and connect with those people?
I looked at doing... So I'm in Geelong in Victoria, and we mm-hmm. have a small business festival in August every year, and a couple of years ago I went along to as many of those as I possibly could that fitted into my business and took business cards. Never go anywhere without a business card.
That's it.
Ever. hand it out wherever you're going. And I network, and I still network with people. LinkedIn, create two profiles on LinkedIn. So create your personal profile and create your business profile. Mm-hmm. So I have Justine Martin, Resilience Consultant on LinkedIn that you can find me through. And I also have Justine Martin Corporation. So the business has a profile and I have a profile on mm-hmm. LinkedIn. And, you know, people will want to connect. So I call LinkedIn adult Facebook.
That's a good way to describe it.
Serious one, you know, where you all talk business and stuff like that and all the crappy videos aren't on there. and so I spend more time on LinkedIn than what I do on Facebook. But, yeah, network. Go to networking events in your area and hand out that business card and, you know, tell people, be excited. If you're excited about your own business, people are going to be excited with you. But if you are sitting at home and you're waiting for it to happen, I'll tell you now, it never will. You mm-hmm. have you to put yourself out there.
Yeah. I do think that's what a lot of people struggle with, because I know in our business I talk about networking and we go to a lot of events and the first thing people always say to me is, I hate networking. And I think almost it's like a mindset people get stuck in where they just think they're going to hate it. But actually, if you go to a few events, you grow your confidence bit by bit, and I love it now. I really do.
If you're working at home all the time and you're working, you know, predominantly by yourself, or you might have a few clients and that come in, to network with like-minded people is fantastic. It, you absolutely. Know, you spur each other on, you bounce on each other. I do, I belong to Business in Heels. You heard of Business mm-hmm. in Heels?
Yeah, I think I have.
So it's for women, and they do mentor mornings. So I'll go, you know, I'll log on and I'll do those. They have face-to-face events, do that as well. And you pick up business from it. It's definitely. Amazing. And, you know, you might be talking to someone and you've given them your card and then they're off talking to someone else and they might be looking for a new painting, and because you've just spoken to them, given them your card, you're still fresh in their mind and like, oh, here you go, I know someone, give this woman a contact, or give this guy, you know, a chat.
Exactly.
And network, don't undervalue networking at all. And if you're going in there saying that you hate networking, you need to change your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Because people will pick up on it. And mm-hmm. and be careful on what false beliefs that you're actually telling yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really big thing in starting a business. And, you know, if you're starting a business and you're saying to yourself, oh, this is going to fail, or I'm going to fail, or you will. Stop right now.
Mm-hmm. You're writing your own future.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you are. And, you know, you've got to look positive. You've got to have some goals set, you know, your short-term, medium-term and long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
And when you achieve those goals, reward yourself. But don't reward yourself with food. Reward yourself.
Other ways of self-care.
Exactly. Yeah, there's lots of other ways to reward yourself.
Yeah.
And but make sure that you do, because, you know, when you're setting smart goals and you're achieving them, you're just taking those steps forward.
Yeah, you deserve it.
Yeah.
And maybe for those who don't know your art, you could describe it, because it's so bright and vibrant, and it's almost like the opposite of what you've gone through in your life, which at times has been quite dark. And it's, where do you get your inspiration from to make it so vibrant?
Oh, I absolutely love colour. Life is too short to be beige. It is. It's
so true.
If you... It's up on my socials, and that my house is actually painted in my brain colours. And oh. I have a 5'6" sculpture, a big giraffe that I made a couple of years ago in the front yard. And so if I'm out somewhere and I'm talking just art, I mean, we got 250,000 people in town here, but I could be out talking just art somewhere and they're like, oh, we know where you live. And I'm like, yes, it's working. So
I love that.
My art is bright, it's bold, it makes people smile. You know, even if I never sold another piece and people stood in front of my artwork, the fact that they are smiling means $1 million to me. Yeah, so lots of animals. I love animals, and I have favourites being giraffes and frogs and dachshunds. So they feature lots.
Happy animals.
Yeah, and look, I've got 3 Australian giant green tree frogs and I've got a dachshund, so, and I'm really tall, so. And then the other week I had artificial eyelashes on and my cousin goes, oh, my God, you look like a giraffe. I'm like, ah! I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Cause you're
I'm
becoming your art.
Yeah, I'm close to 6 foot tall, so, and over 6 foot in heels. So, yeah, I'm going to take that. Yeah, lots of those. And look, the kids' book that I've just written, the main feature, and it's all about equality, that book, the main character through that is a dachshund, so, which is Pansy, my dachshund. So, I just love animals. I'm not a real seascape or landscape kind of painter. I like doing lots of things with ink as well, and the bright, vibrant alcohol inks, and I push them to the maximum of what I can, and watercolour inks as well. I've been using those for quite a few years. But then depending what mood I'm in as well, I can go back to just using graphite and do some really soft nude drawings. And, you know, I also do I go in and take photographs of women in their home naked, and then I draw them for them. Beautiful. And that's such a wonderful experience to do that for women. And, you know, I can enhance bits that they want enhanced, and I can slim things that they want slimmed without Photoshop. So, yeah. And so, you know, I have that serious kind of art, and I've done a lot of stippling drawings as well, and they have a lot
What's
of
a stippling drawing?
So stippling drawings are just dots. Dots, and I've won quite a lot of awards for my stippling work. So but yeah, the bright, bold, big, colorful animals is a little bit like me, really. So
I love it. Absolutely, definitely. Like you.
And, you know, I do lots of commission pieces, and, you know, someone will have a picture of their dog that maybe has just passed away, or, you know, is getting quite old, and they want to immortalize that image.
Have a memory.
They want something bright and bold and colourful. So I call them my Skittles paintings, because they look like a packet of Skittles with all the colours and stuff.
I love them.
Thank you, Georgia.
Thank you.
And maybe just to finish, if there was one like golden piece of advice you could give to someone who has maybe a hobby at the moment that they want to make into a business, or a creative passion that they want to pursue full time and maybe leave the corporate world, what golden tidbit of advice would you give them?
Do it. Life is too short to live in regret.
Yeah, you can't bottle that time, can you?
No, you can't. And, you know, don't wait for, you know, down the track to do it, because that'll never come. You know, just do it. What's the worst that can happen? If you believe in yourself and you're open to help, then you can do it. Do it in a part-time manner to start with, if, you know, leaving full-time scares you that much. And it's not going to be easy, but it'll be definitely well worth it. I mean, being your own boss is amazing. I could never go back and have a boss.
Once you've tasted the freedom, there's no way you can. I know I definitely couldn't, yeah.
I do a lot of volunteer work through Barwon Health. I'm a consumer advisor and I sit on committees trying to help improve patient care, and I kind of have a boss through there, and that reminds me, not that they're bad or anything, but it reminds me of what, you know, the corporate
having to report to
someone. Yeah, and that there's timelines and things are going to be done. I mean, creatives are never really good on timelines, are we? But or deadlines. But yeah, being your own boss is just amazing. But in saying that, you've got to be disciplined enough to be your own boss as well.
Yeah. Yes,
and you know, make sure that you have someone that you're accountable to.
Well, if there's anyone who can show them that they can do it, it's you, because of all the adversity you've faced and what you've achieved is just so inspiring, and it's been so lovely to chat with you. And you say you want your art to make you smile, and I've got to say I've been smiling through all of this conversation, so yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. Mission accomplished today. I've made someone smile.
Thanks so much, Justine. It was a pleasure to talk with you, and good luck with everything. And if anyone's interested in following Justine, I will leave all her details on the outro so you can follow her and her amazing work. Thanks so much.
Wow, Justine was so inspirational to chat to. If we could all have just a pinch of her resilience, I'm sure we'd see success. What an amazing woman. To see Justine's art, visit JustArt, that's JUZTART.com.au. And to learn more about her resilience coaching and business, visit her website, justinemartin.com.au. Until next time, here's to going all in on your creative pursuits.
Thank you for listening to the Committed Creative Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode and learned at least one thing that will help you stay on the creative path.
If you liked it, please subscribe, as there's plenty more to come. And we'd love it if you could leave us a review if you found the podcast worthwhile. And if you didn't, please send us your feedback. We're all ears. You can check us out online at redplatypuscreative.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at redplatypuscreative.
Remember, you are not alone in your creativity, and you can make money from your creative pursuits. See you next time when we speak to another creative mind that's committed to making their way work.
Here's to going all in and becoming a committed creative.